You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, it's blocked! Field goal attempt is blocked! Scooped up, and will be taken all the way for a Jets touchdown! Will McDonald returns it into the end zone.
As Daniel Whelan the hold. The kick is blocked. It is blocked. The Browns get the swat and turn the Packers away.
Joshua Cardi
has it blocked again. This time Jordan Davis. The big man looks for the icing on one big cake. Eagles hang on.
This is the Zabe Cast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
To say that the witching hour produced a very strong brew on Sunday would be an understatement. Oh my God, what was happening in the National Football League. How you doing on a Monday, everybody? El Baldo here. Andy Poland will join me momentarily. Not one, not two, but three different blocked field goals that all had major impacts on their games in a span of about 10 minutes. There was a fourth blocked field goal earlier in the Rams and Eagles game, which is one of the worst beats you're ever going to see. A thick six, I believe is what Mike Golic on Twitter was calling it. A thick six. THICC. Six. For the Eagles number 90, who blocked the field goal and ran it all the way back. Jordan Davis, big fella, blocks the Rams' game-winning field goal attempt from Josh Cardi as time expires, and then just on a side quest says, well, I blocked it. Why don't I pick it up myself? What an amazing athletic feat it was to block it and then plow through the line, pick up the ball as it's bouncing on the ground, go 61 yards to not just put a little exclamation point on his play, but to beat the spread. It was, I think, the Rams were getting 3.5. And so you figured down two, you were good either way. If the Rams made the field goal, fine. Just more points. We're going to, you know, we're in a winning position. The only way you could lose that wager is if what happened, happened. And that kids is why, as Tony Soprano's father once told his son, Anthony, that is why you, Anthony, should never gamble. But yeah, so that was one of the plays. The Browns blocked a field goal by the Packers at the end of regulation that would have won the game. Then you had the Buccaneers and the Jets. The Jets with a clean block of a field goal from a player who hopped over the line of scrimmage, blocked it, picked it up on the dead run and went all the way back for a touchdown. But Baker Mayfield's a baller, and he brought him back for the game-winning field goal just before time expired. It was a strong witch's brew of crazy. We'll go over more of the NFL with Andy coming up here in just a second. And you know what yesterday was, right? The last day of summer, according to the, what is it, the meteorological calendar or the astronomical calendar, the seasonal calendar. It is now technically fall, even though it may be warm still where you are. But it was the 21st of September. September the 21st. Did somebody write a song about that? More on why I think it's the greatest song of all time before we're done today. So on the Packer-Brown game, this is what infuriated many Packer fans. And it's Matt LaFleur's biggest weakness. He's good at a lot of things. But as a game technician, as a tactical, nimble, okay, I'm in the thick of it now. What do I do here to get this ship into port? He's bad. Has always been bad. It's his one flaw. There's very few coaches that don't have a flaw in some regard. This is LaFleur's. So their O-line was having a dog shit day. Well, first of all, the Packers started Zach Tom, a really good right tackle, who they paid $88 million to, because he can also slip inside when needed. You can flip him around as well, left to right. He's really versatile, and he's really good. So they paid him. He got hurt in the first game of the year against the Lions, a torn oblique muscle. Now, your oblique is like the ham hocks on the side of your torso. And I'd imagine for an O-lineman that's got to push around big uglies and hold his ground, you twist and you turn and you flex that oblique. Bet that's got to hurt. So he missed the second game on a short turnaround against the Commanders, and they thought he was going to be good enough to play in the game this Sunday. They ran him out there. Zach Tommy lasted one play. One play. And if that wasn't bad enough, because like, what? He was having problems running without pain in practice this week. I don't know. I would have held him out if it was a $88 million right tackle against a non-division opponent in week three after being 2-0, where you're favored by 8.5 points. I would have said, we'll put something else there. We'll put someone or something else there. Hell, we'll start a folding chair before we jeopardize this. We'll figure it out. We'll run away from that side of things. Maybe the reason they decided to push him out there was because what was left of their O-line was such dog shit. Jordan Love got sacked 5 times. They had tons of false start penalties. They were having trouble getting plays in. It was a disaster. But anyway, so after the game, when asked about it, one play, Matt LaFleur said, yeah, I regret doing that. We can't allow that to happen. We. Who's we? What do you mean, we? Find the we and fire his ass. What coach says that? We can't allow that to happen. But you just did. You just did. Oh, my God. But here's the thing. Coaches, I'm convinced, don't watch enough football as fans. I don't know when they'd have time to do it, but maybe during the offseason. Just sit them down in front of a whole bunch of games. Just say, just watch them like a fan. Here, get some popcorn, have a soda, sit back, feed up, no notes, no clicker. Just watch the games. See how games are won and lost in the National Football League on a week-to-week basis. And then next time you're in a situation, think to yourself, okay, what are the odds here? So the Browns could not do shit on offense, which to any Browns fan, and I'm sure I'll get some of you emailing me, yeah, it was, now you know, Zabe, what it's like. Now you understand my pain as a Browns fan. The Browns finally in the fourth quarter put together a 15-play, 71-yard drive that landed on first and goal at the 8, down 10-0. Okay, they got a chance if they can punch it in. 7 plays later, with the benefit of not one but two defensive pass interference calls. I think they're both mostly legit. One was a bit softer than the other, but whatever. Seven plays, two DPIs, they're suddenly third and goal at their own 20 because they got a chop block penalty that cost them 15 yards. Peak Browns, right? So they got first and goal at the 8, seven plays later with two DPIs, they're suddenly third and goal at the 20. How did that happen? Well, you're the fucking Browns. That's how. They end up not getting it on third and goal from the 20, so they got to kick a field goal. They're down 10-3. Okay, fine. Packers get the ball back. There's 3:33 left. The Browns at this point, the way they had been not moving the ball or how laborious it was to get any kind of yardage, you could have given them a month worth of Sundays and they would have not have driven in 3 minutes and change for a game-tying touchdown. No way, no how. So here's what LaFleur does. He gives the ball to rookie Matthew Golden on an end-around, gains 4. Browns have to take timeout number 1. Gives it back to Golden again on an end-around on second down. He got 3. Timeout number 2. You've got 3rd and 3 with the Browns down to their last timeout with just over 3 minutes to play, and they can't score. They can't move, and you've got a 7-point lead. Hey, Bob, tell them what to do. Or tell them what not to do. How about don't pass? Run the effing ball. And give it to Josh Jacobs, not to Golden. Nothing against Golden. And yeah, you got some yardage on the jet sweeps. He's not reliable. He's a rookie. He's a wide receiver. Josh Jacobs is your workhorse back. He is so shifty. I rarely, if ever, see a guy get him square up on the first chance. He makes the first guy miss every time. Well, LaFleur, the genius, calls a pass play. And Jordan Love, who almost always never makes horrible mistakes, almost always, well, he proved the almost part of it because he fucked up. He threw a pick to Grant Delpit. He then got up and ran it down to like the 3-yard line. Had he not been able to get up and they were stuck at like the 30, well, the Browns would have died at the 30 or would have gone backwards from there. But this is the thing. You think, and of course, afterwards, you know, LaFleur took the blame for it. He said, it was a bad call. I shouldn't have called that. Well, don't then. Sometimes just play the dumb odds. Just go, yeah, run, punt. Run, punt. And we might get a first down. Believe me, I would have said that Jacobs would have gotten a first down on 3rd and 3 if you handed it to him. Your most basic stock running play. I would have felt pretty darn good about that. But these coaches, and LaFleur is not the worst. There are others even worse than he is. They're just morons on situational football. They don't understand the crucialness, the cruciality, the crucial animousness of taking a 5% chance. Because look, anything could have happened. The punt could have gotten blocked for a touchdown, right? Anything can happen. But he took like a 5% chance of, oh my God, they came down and we punted the ball back to him. They went 80 yards in 2.5 minutes with no timeouts to score a touchdown when they hadn't done shit all day. Okay, what's that, a 5% chance? Or maybe it's even a 2% chance. The role of a coach, the best coaches, take 2% chances and they melt them down into 1/10 of 1% chances. And they do it without any flinching. They don't overthink it. They don't get caught up in how, oh, I got this cool play in my sheet. I got that cool play. We could do this. We could do that. No. Run, punt, play defense. Get the fuck out of there with a win. But that's losing football all around. Just a flat-out clunker. And one of many games this year that will be thrown away by teams who should have, could have, would have won if their coaches just weren't idiots. Coming up, Andy Pollin on the rest of week 3 so far through Sunday evening, plus his Terps took it to the Badgers in college football. Andy is next. You are listening to the Zabecast.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sportsbook that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
For that side, they moved to 4-0 with a controlling 27-10 win. Plenty of reason for Malik Washington to smile. Two touchdown passes, one touchdown run. Get it down to his winning head coach with Carolina.
Ooh. I feel like I let us down in the moment that you and I could have been having a really sizzling text exchange during the Maryland-Wisconsin game on Saturday, and yet we did nothing. I just sat and watched in horror as the Luke Fickell regime burns to the ground in Madison. Of course, you probably were getting it back and forth from your daughter who went to Wisconsin. Your money, Andy, went to that university, but now you are a season ticket holder as a pseudo Subway alum. The Subway doesn't go to Maryland, but still, congratulations on your win. I feel like you and I should have had a bet.
Well, I know how many weeks you've invested in being a Wisconsin fan, so it must be crushing for you to lose like that.
Oh, I am not a diehard. I am not even a die easy. I am a Dolph Lundgren, if he dies, he dies, sort of casual. I mean, look, Wisconsin is fucked. They are in a bad spot right now. And I had to be reminded by my program director, hey, you know, on Monday, just remember, we are partners with them. We carry their games.
And then
he pointed out, like, backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And offensive linemen. And I'm like, yeah, but they were inept. They were booing and chanting fire Fickell during the game.
They were terrible. And look, their starting quarterback was a Maryland discard.
I know.
How did they go into a season like that? Okay, he was too hurt to play. He tried to go out there and he ran a couple of plays. The backup is like, you know, Billy Barty, and he stinks.
He's a little Danny McTryhard. Danny O'Neill? I think it's Danny O'Neill, yeah. Because your starter from Maryland, the redhead, Billy Edwards.
Right.
He hurt himself on a non-contact play. The poor guy's knee just went womp-womp in week one. Well, and they sat him the last couple weeks against Stiffs. They got killed by Alabama last week. But I guess Fickell was so desperate he ran him out there when it's like, what makes you think his knee is good? Because he really wasn't talked about like he's good to go during the week, and he got hurt on like the third play.
Right, and having been a season ticket holder now for Maryland and having gone to all three of their home games.
I can count the weeks that you've been a season ticket holder, Mr. Count the Weeks.
True, but I have been a Maryland football fan since the 1970s. And they have some really good freshman defensive players, some linebackers that are good that could put pressure on the quarterback. And Edwards was a pretty good runner, you know, last year for Maryland, but he's not, you know, he's not Kyler Murray or somebody like that. I mean, it's crazy that's the best you could do. Maryland's got a guy. This guy, Malik Washington.
Oh,
he's one of the best freshmen in the country.
True freshman. Yeah, Malik Washington looks sweet. He moves nice. He throws it nice. And I think he's got a bright future. The question is, can you hold him? Can you keep him there?
That's the thing. I mean, it's all about money now. So they'll probably have to find somebody next year. But for this year, I mean, this is fun. 4-0. They got Washington after a bye week. And who knows? I mean, they if they make a bowl game, that's a good year for Maryland. So,
sure.
You know, and this was a lot of people wanted to get rid of Mike Locksley when they won only four games last year. I think he's the perfect coach for Maryland. And I am glad that they're doing this.
Yeah. So anyway, congratulations on the win. And Boy, I feel terrible for Wisconsin. There's a $28 million buyout on Fickell, which I know you're like, oof. Have you seen the buyout numbers on Dabo Swinney, who lost as a 17.5-point favorite to Syracuse? Syracuse is good. Their quarterback, though, blew out his knee. He's done for the season, which is
Achilles.
Achilles, yes. Angeli, I believe. Steve Angeli.
Right.
He was leading the country in passing. Dabo is like going crazy down there at press conferences saying, well, you want to get rid of me? Get rid of me, knowing full well his buyout's like $60 million. 60.
Look, here's the thing with him. They didn't just lose to Syracuse. They were dominated by Syracuse at home. Yes. And people look at the national championships he won, which is great, and he did more as a coach at Clemson than anyone has ever done. But he was one of the first to raise his hand and go, well, as soon as they start paying the players, I'm out of here. And then they go, well, here's a $10 million contract. Well, I guess I'm going to stay. He didn't get into the transfer portal. He was late to do that. And I don't know if they're aggressive as they need to be in the NIL. So, you know, this is what you get. He was successful in the Stone Age of college football, where they were paying players under the table. Now they're paying players over the table, and they're not very good.
So as people are starting to sort of, you know, Wisconsin fans are starting to size up, okay, can we fire Fickell? How do we get the money to buy him out? We're already kind of lagging behind the other Big Ten schools in terms of NIL money, yada, yada, yada. I asked this simple question to a buddy. I said, well, what if they went the route of a contract for an unknown college coach with none of this extravagant buyout numbers that are hanging into the future? In other words, you're not going to monster.com and posting the job listing, but you're accepting the fact that we're going to take a guy who's relatively unknown, but we see in him the qualities to lead a program. Would any program dare to go that route?
Well, Indiana did, and Indiana
with
could.
With Cignetti?
Yes, because football is really secondary there. Having been to a Wisconsin game, having experienced a Wisconsin football weekend, football's number one, so selling a Cignetti to the alumni would not have been an easy thing to do.
All right, but that said, they crushed Illinois. And it's like, okay, maybe they're not going to suck this year after their pop-up year in which they went to the college football playoff. To say Indiana football school, like, that's a really weird one right there,
It is. It's
so
crazy.
Yeah, so I don't know how – I think what happens with programs like Wisconsin, with Fickell – by the way, everyone praised the Fickell hire. Everyone said –
Oh, he came from the Ohio State factory. Sure. You go shop. It's like getting players out of Alabama.
Well, not only that, came out of Ohio State, but then went to Cincinnati and took him as a Cinderella to the Final Four, which is amazing. And apparently Notre Dame wanted him. And they were able to get him a year later because he said no to Notre Dame. So nobody thought it was a bad hire. But it has not worked out. He tried to change their DNA from running to passing. That was a failure. Linemen are not going to Wisconsin like they once did. He used to have a wall around the state where if you were an offensive lineman, you could not leave. They're like, you're coming to Wisconsin.
When I was visiting my daughter one weekend, and we were at that area around the lake, you know, where they have those tables. Everybody's familiar with that.
Sure.
And there was a football recruit there, one of the largest human beings I have ever seen in my life. And I did 10 years of post-game shows with Joe Jacoby. So,
yes,
they got linemen there. They used to anyway.
Well, they had several recruits in attendance, which is brutal that they had to sit there and watch the stands empty out halfway through the fourth quarter, the fans chanting fire Fickell. And what happens is it's like an airplane that gets its wings past 90 degrees. Once it's flipped, that plane goes down like right away because you get the negative feedback loops of no recruits want to come play for a coach that probably won't be there in a year or two at the most. The donors don't want to spend money on a losing program. They're going to pull their wallets back. The media covers the team less, and the fans become apathetic. It's all four things going against you. It's brutal.
Yeah, no, I imagine they've got their season tickets sold out because it's still a pretty big deal to have Wisconsin football, but I don't know how long that can last.
Well, you know, things are cyclical, right? Yeah. A lot of programs that everyone thought would always be powers suddenly found themselves on very, very hard times. Yep. So yep. We'll see. And then, of course, you had the other issue in college football that was of note, which is the SEC had to come out literally an hour after the game ended to announce that, yes, Oklahoma got a way inaccurate call on what should have been a fake substitution play, mm-hmm. where their wide receiver pretended like he was leaving the game and then, like, oh, as soon as the ball was snapped, runs upfield for a touchdown. Like, this is my point against replay. There's no sense in having replay when egregious mistakes like this that prompt a press release an hour after the game can and do still happen. Plus, Auburn got two other horseshit calls go against them, a fumble that was returned for a touchdown that was not called a fumble, and then a PI that was blatant. So that's my stance against replay. Why have replay when those things still happen?
Because you'd have more of them if you didn't have replay.
And I'm like, but does it matter? Well, so you can... and of course, you know, the Oklahoma coaching staff bragged about the play, even though it was an illegal play. It was a Bush League play. One of the coaches even flipped off one of the other players after they scored on it. Like, yeah. This is not it. We have lost the plot in sports, especially in college football. Do you see Lane Kiffin with the turnover dunk hoop on the sideline?
Yeah, that was really obnoxious.
It's just dumb. A full-on basketball hoop. Yep. And players that make a good play, I guess a turnover, pick, interception, maybe touchdowns, who knows, get to do a little dunk in their football gear on the sideline. Yay!
Yeah, I mean, how much further can these sideline celebrations go? You know, like, you have the turnover chain now.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, all those different things. Yeah,
well, I think these teams do it because, oh, the kids love it.
Yeah.
It'll help in recruiting. So we got to do what people do. Mm-hmm. We can't just sell them on a good humanities department and a nice dorm. Yeah. That ain't going to get her done.
What do you think Bear Bryant would have thought if they had a hoop on the sideline there?
Oh, my God. Bear Bryant is spinning in his grave right now like a top looking at all this stuff. Meanwhile, I got great news for you, Andy. The docuseries involving Chapel Bill and North Carolina has apparently been resurrected and has now been greenlit, according to sources. Ms. Hudson, his child girlfriend, maybe soon to be child bride, she's not a child, but she's close, the 53-year age gap, I believe, between the 75-year-old Belichick and the 24-year-old.
I don't think she's 75 yet. I think he's a little younger. I think he's 73.
73, okay.
Carroll just turned 74.
You're right. The nearly 50-year age gap between the two of them. Mm-hmm. She apparently posted on Instagram something that kind of hinted at it's going to come back. Other sources say it'll come back. I can't wait. I hope it does, although it's a long way from actually producing content. Here's what's funny, though. So I'm seeing her on the sideline dressed up like she's some sorority girl out on the town.
And high heel boots.
She's got to make herself look visible at all times. There's no need for her to be on the sidelines before a game other than to be seen. So somebody took the little exchange.
I saw it. Yeah.
And AI'd it. And they threw it through the fake AI video thing. And it made it look very realistic that Belichick started macking out with her and picking her up and air humping her on the sideline. It's a realistic enough video that in another day and age, you wouldn't think twice. You'd go, holy shit, he really did that. That's so inappropriate.
And I mean, look, over the years, you see sometimes a coach will go over to the stands and say hello to his wife and kids before the game. I've never seen a wife down on the sidelines as the game is getting ready to start. I've never seen that before. I mean, and he's the one who just, always deflected distractions when anything was going on with his team. So something's going on there. There's something that's not right.
Well, you know what that something is, right?
Yeah, I know, but he's 73. I mean,
Andy.
I know we got drugs for that stuff, but Andy, my God.
That has launched 1,000 ships.
I understand.
That has squandered fortunes, that thing that you not talk about. That is the most powerful thing in the world when it comes down to it, even more than money. I mean, look at the politicians whose careers have been ruined. because they couldn't resist. So that's what's going on there. Anyway, careful for fake AI videos out there. They look good. They're funny as hell, but it's getting scary good how you can make these things pretty much in no time whatsoever as just a guy on the internet who downloads a video. Mm-hmm. Did you like the CBS throwback to pregames for their 50th anniversary of the NFL on CBS? The old music, the old set. Brent came on to do a bit of a star turn. It was nice to see that. They put costumes and fake mustaches on a lot of their announcers. It was cute, right?
It was fantastic.
More
was
than cute. Okay.
It was great. The set that they recreated, fabulous. Brent still has his fastball. I mean, he voiced over all the high. He's 86 years old. He's tremendous. And CBS did a great job with that. Not a good job, a great job with that.
Right. Well, the whole thing as a throwback got me to thinking about pregames because I had the misfortune of listening to the Fox pregame shows, plural, starting with Carissa Thompson, the sort of the warm-up show, which is the same sort of empty jocularity. Oh, ho, ho, Charles Woodson. Oh, ho, ho, Gronk. Oh, ho, you know, it's just, oh, J.J. Watt. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. It had the same sort of empty jocularity as the main show. Then the main show comes on with even more expensive talent because, I mean, look, Howie is getting paid a ton. Bradshaw is getting paid a ton, right? Probably $7, $8 million a year for these kind of shows. Know.
I imagine, yeah.
Okay. Very expensive shows, and I don't know about you, but do you get any real good information out of them?
No. They're just, and everything is so short, and they like to congratulate each other on everything they do. And every time one of these empty interviews is done by, what's her name, who used to be with ESPN. Carissa and the other Aaron Andrews. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They always, one of them has to say, great job, Aaron. Is that in the contract? I mean, she gives the player a hug. She asks three softball questions and then gets thrown back to them. Great job, Aaron. What? What did she do?
They also had on Drew Brees on the pregame show.
He's and Carissa, trying out. Yeah.
And Carissa Thompson kept saying, we're so lucky to have Drew Brees today. Thank you for your time. And I felt like screaming out because I was in my garage, tidying up the garage, listening and kind of glancing at my iPad. I was like, they're paying him. What do you mean? Thank you so much for your fucking time. Stop with the lying, for God's sakes.
He's trying out. NBC tried him. He was terrible.
Right.
So now he's peddling his wares down the block. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Well, the thing that really, though, stuck in my craw was I heard not one but two of the big name experts on the big show. I can't say exactly who, whether it was Howie and Strahan. Terry or if it was Strahan, but they said, yeah, I think the Packers are going to be 9-0 going into that Monday night game against the Eagles. Spoiler alert, they will not be undefeated going into that game. I thought they would be, they should be, but they aren't going to be. But the point is this, it's week 10, that game, but the Packers have a bye in week 5. And to have not one but two guys, I know it's a small thing, Andy, a 9 versus an 8. What that told me was none of them took a single second to actually take a look and consider what they were saying. Because they would have had to have looked at the 8 games, seen the opponents, the home versus away splits, and then also note that, oh, they do have a bye. So what will their record be going into that showdown with the Eagles? So it's clear that they probably got some bad prep work from somebody on the show.
Or they were just too look at it.
Or didn't look at it. So, okay, so they're that out of, it made me wonder, what do they do all week? Are they sports? Do they watch the NFL? Do they do any independent research whatsoever? And we're not talking about deep dives into databases of plays on third and three. This is just a cursory look of, bet this game could be pretty big. Ooh, you know what? I think the Packers, they got easy opponents. They're probably going to be 8-0. None of that. What do they do, Andy? They get paid millions.
Their prep is given to them. Strahan has another job. He does Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. Kurt Menefee has another job. He does a local show in New York. Howie Long is, I don't know what he does. He lives in Charlottesville, Virginia. Probably lives the life of a squire. And they just show up the day before.
Okay.
They're handed these big packets of information. You think they look at them in their hotel room before they go to bed? Nah, they're probably watching movies on TV.
But this is not like knowing what Justin Herbert's major was in college.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this shows I would just love to see the life week to week of a Howie Long and figure out how detached are you that these basic little things. Then at halftime, they were showing a highlight package from the Browns-Packers game, and Strahan was brought in like, okay, Michael, tell us what the Micah Parsons effect is here, disrupting plays. And he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And that leads to a pick. And I'm like, no, that wasn't a pick. Like, he called a play an interception as a highlight when it was not an interception. It was a close bang, bang play. And I'm thinking, that's shitty production right there. Because I and other fans had to go, wait a minute, that was not an interception. Like, how is it that this big operation is so sloppy? I guess that's my bottom line.
It's probably because most people don't care like you do. It's a show for people who are just passing the time, waiting for the game to start.
But this was at halftime.
Okay, at halftime.
So at halftime, you're
taking your pish, you've got your popcorn, and you're ready for the second half.
Okay, but don't you think that people watching the game, that they're going to be like, okay, what happened here? If you're going to describe the pressure effect of, you know, Micah Parsons, and you say, and this leads to a pick, it better be an actual interception.
Right. Well, somebody gave him the wrong call sheet or whatever. I'm on the Red Zone channel at that point, so I'm not watching anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess not. What else from the weekend, sports-wise, tickled your fancy?
Let's see. Well, I watched a lot of college football. I'll tell you something, back to Indiana.
How about the fact Daniel Jones lit it up again?
Yeah, that one too. But Indiana was a 4.5-point favorite in that game. They scored 63. They've scored 150 points in 2 weeks. And could it be that Cignetti's got something figured out here that nobody else has? I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win the national championship. Isn't that bizarre?
I think he's got better players than people realize. I don't know who they are because I don't follow college football at the lower levels that close. But I think he's got better players than people realize. And he is a great coach. As he once said, Andy, Google me.
I win.
I win. Google me. One of the great cocky coach lines of all time for a dude who is definitely backing it up. Let me real quick put a quarter in your jukebox on the Commanders win over the Raiders. Marcus Mariota filling in for the injured Jaden Daniels. Like last year when he went 2-0 in relief, no problem. The Raiders are a disaster. And how about your O-line patched together with replacement parts producing big run after big run after big run from a bunch of no-names?
Yeah, well, let me say this about the Raiders. They are incredibly bad. They've won a game, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how. And Pete Carroll, God bless him, he looks 54, not 74.
Yeah.
But this team
looks great.
is a long way from winning. And he's bringing in Geno Smith, who's fine, but they're terrible. I mean, the Commanders, they were up. It was a 10-10 game with about 5 minutes left in the first half, and they scored a touchdown and kicked a field goal. But at 10-10, they were just horrendous. Holding call after holding call. Mariota tried to be Superman and leap over a defender.
Fumbled.
I mean, everything they were doing was like, they're going to get blown out. Oh, no, they're not going to get blown out because the Raiders are that bad.
Yeah, the Raiders are even worse.
Geno Smith was only sacked 5 times. I swear it seemed like 50.
Right.
I mean, they were just hunting him down. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's a good bounce back win for your Commanders who got beat up by the Packers a week and a half ago. So good for you guys. And the field finally looks really good. They've put some money into that grass. Looks good.
Well, they've got too bad, real ownership.
I know. Yeah. Well, too bad you're only going to have real grass now for a couple more years until they put you on that fake
stuff. Well, no, that was actually in the telecast.
Oh.
That I hadn't heard this, but Josh Harris told, who was doing the game? Oh, it was Schlereth. He told Schlereth that they were going to install real grass in the new stadium. It's kind of like wow. They do in Arizona. Yeah. I said it's safer for the players.
You know what I would do if I was an owner, a billionaire, and you had an option of building a stadium that has a tray of grass that slides mm-hmm. out to grow in the sun like in Arizona, and then you slide it back in? Requires mm-hmm. a lot of engineering and upkeep and maintenance. I'd be like, fuck it. What can a brand new field cost per month? Let's say a field lasts 1 month indoors with no sunlight. $1 million?
Yeah, you know, they tried
I would just buy a new field every month. It'd be like $4 million for new fields all year. Fine. Well, do it.
The Astrodome actually opened with grass. And,
no way.
And yeah, and look it up. And they it was dying like in June. So they they came up with this turf, and that's where they called it AstroTurf.
Right. But I'm just saying I don't know what it costs if you built a field that was removable in pieces, interlocking puzzle pieces, that has real grass and dirt and worms in it. I would bring that in as many times as needed to get through the 4 months of the season. Hell, if it was every home game and it was $1 million, I'd spend $8 million as an owner. I'd say, fuck it, I'm a billionaire. What do I care?
Well, I don't have the resources to study agronomy, but I imagine it's possible to do that. I don't know.
Okay. All right, Andy. Topic for another day. As always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll chat next week.
All right, Jeb. Take care.
Thank you. Let me blitz through the rest of the NFL Week 3, at least through Sunday evening, before we put this podcast to bed. The Panthers destroy the Falcons 30-0. Michael Penix actually got benched in this game. He was so bad. He was like 16 of 35. And there was a Kirk Cousins sighting. However, Radio Raheem said, don't get carried away here. This is not a return of Kirk. This was just, wasn't our day. Get our starting guys out of harm's way and move on. The Kaleidoscope League continues to turn as the Panthers improve to 1-2 and the Falcons fall to 1-2. The Jake Browning Pack It Up Their Asses Tour got a rude awakening in Minnesota. The Vikings explode on the Bengals and win 48-10, your final. It wasn't even that close. It was 48-3 at one point. Browning was terrible, threw a bunch of picks, and Carson Wentz was pretty, pretty good. 14-20 for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he got the ball to Justin Jefferson, 5 for 75 on the game for him. They also announced, the Vikings did, as they moved to 2-1, that the J.J. McCarthy injury timeline will be sometime after Week 7's bye. I'm like, wow. It went from an injury nobody saw to he's out this week to we'll see towards, oh, yeah, we're just, yeah, give him some time. This is the clearest indication that the team knows they're non-functional offensively with McCarthy at this point. They may never be. So it'd be better off to ride Wentz for the time being. The Jaguars beat the Texans 17-10. C.J. Stroud, another game that was, I'd say, underwhelming. Pretty good percentage, but 2 interceptions in this game. And Trevor Lawrence got the better of him. One thing to watch, the snap count on Travis Hunter was really low, according to one tweet I saw. The joke was, yeah, forget talking about what's he going to play more on offense or defense. He's apparently not playing at all. I think he played like a dozen snaps. Did have a nice highlight in the game. Eagles beat the Rams. We talked about that block punt to start the podcast, 33-26. Jalen Hurts stepped it up in the second half. And, of course, the tush push had a false start. Yet again at the 5-yard line. Hey, NFL refs, watch this. I think I saw the refs call a false start on the Saints doing their version of the tush push. But I guess the Eagles are not going to get those calls. Hurts started slow, finished strong, 226 yards, three touchdowns. At one point, I looked at the box score, and it was like Jalen Hurts 4 for 7 for 20 yards. Woof. The Colts rolled a 3-0, beat the Titans senseless, 41-20, as Daniel Indiana Jones continues his resurrection. This has got to gall Giant fans thinking, yeah, it may have been us, not him. Daniel Jones threw it. He ran it. He looked good. And the Colts are 3-0. Also, Jonathan Taylor had a bomb day, three touchdowns and over 100 yards. The Buccaneers beat the Jets 29-27 on that late field goal. As I mentioned earlier, are you watching Emeka Ebuka? 6 for 85 and made spectacular catch after spectacular catch. I believe in this game, Evans got hurt. We'll find out more about that on Monday. Mayfield, 233 yards in the win. The Steelers beat the Patriots 21-14. The Patriots were fumbling biatches at two fumbles in the red zone and just not good, including a fumble at the goal line. You had two touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers on only 139 yards passing, but the two touchdowns puts him ahead of Brett Favre on the all-time touchdown list in the NFL. The Chargers beat the Broncos in a hell of a game late, 23-20, your final from SoFi. Justin Herbert, 300 yards. Chargers are 3-0 for the first time in a long time. And while I don't care for Jim Harbaugh, I really hate Sean Payton. So it's great to see him with the sucking on sour lemons look as he has to clomp across the field and shake the hand of the winning coach after a big fat L for the Broncos. Seahawks destroyed the Saints 44-13. Saints are 0-3, well on their way to a 2-3 win season at most, only because they play in the NFC Dirty South. They'll pick up one somewhere along the way. Seahawks looking pretty strong. With Sam Darnold at the helm, they're 2-1 now. Niners, despite all the injuries and despite Mac Jones yet again, they're 3-0. Mac Jones nearly 300 yards in this game. Kyler Murray only a 159 in the air. As the Niners could get through this early part with all these injuries, maybe get some guys back and be on their way. The Bears destroy the Cowboys, 31-14, your final. It was the best day as a pro for Caleb Williams he's had so far. When I say that the Cowboys defense has a disorganization level akin to electric football, you have to be my age to understand that. Electric football being the primitive precursor to video games in which you had little figurines that sat on a metal rectangle painted like a football field and a vibrating buzzer in the corner of that aluminum field. And a switch. You turn it on, the aluminum vibrated, and the little figurines of the players that had little like bristles underneath the bases of the players would move because of the vibrations. But they would move in all directions. I mean, it was impossible to get them going the way you want them to go. Sure, they had little bases that had dials on them that purported to be able to, you know, give them directions like, okay, I'm going to set my left guard up here to go block out. I'm going to set my wide receiver to go here. There's still like societies, not societies, there's still clubs that play electric football. But the players go anywhere they want because you turn on the thing, bzzz, guys are going in circle, they're falling on their sides. That's what the Dallas defense looks like right now. Caleb Williams, nearly 300 yards, 298 yards, four touchdowns. They were bebopping and scatting. Chicago, 31. Blue Stars, 14, and now is when the season gets really bad. Also, CeeDee Lamb hurt his ankle pretty bad on a play in this game, so guess what? Even more woe for the Cowboys coming up. Then we got Chiefs and Giants due to kick off here in about 10 minutes. Lions-Ravens on Monday night, and that will be a wrap for week number 3. And then I'll start playing the Mike Francesa bite of, you know what? The season going by so fast, I'll tell you what. Before you look, before you notice, it's week 5, week 7, it's Halloween, it's week 10, then it's Thanksgiving. Let's end on this. Yesterday was September 21st. You've probably heard the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. I personally believe it is the greatest song of all time. I know that's a bold claim because there's been a lot of songs written in popular culture. In fact, a few of them written about girls. Just ask Stewie on Family Guy. Anyway, so the song September has a very catchy groove to it. It also has the lyrics ba-di-ya, which never made any sense because they were never supposed to make any sense. I'm going to play you this clip that was sent to me by our boy Scott Lynn, who said, this is why I love this song so much. It is far more complicated than you might realize. This is a little clip from a podcast by John Maddox, I believe is his name. And he breaks down exactly why it's such a great song. Here, take a little listen right here.
21st night, September.
The intro to September is deceptively syncopated, and we'll start by listening to this guitar and keyboard. Now, the second electric guitar plays a completely different rhythm. Now, this piano part is keeping everything together rhythmically and also establishing the chord progression. And there's also strings, horns, percussion, and another guitar. And when we add them together one by one, the intro starts to sound familiar. And let's not forget the drums and bass, which come in towards the second half of the intro. Now, there are more parts there than you might suspect, and it's because it's meant to be heard as a whole and not those individual parts. It's so well arranged and performed that it creates this magical groove that plays throughout the song. Now, if you've ever wondered, what does ba-di-ya mean? Ollie Willis, one of the co-writers of September, wondered the same thing because she thought they should use actual words in the chorus. So when she asked Maurice White, what does ba-di-ya mean? He said, who the f*** cares? And she's talked about the great lesson in songwriting that she learned from him, which I think we could all learn from too.
Maurice really taught me the most important song lesson I ever got, which was never let the lyric get in the way of the groove.
And along with having a great groove and lyrics and musical performances, the vocals on September are incredible, and there's a subtle effect on the lead vocal which makes it sound like it's been doubled, but what it's really doing is making it sound more rich, and you can especially hear it when he says, away.
Do you remember 21st night, September? Love was changing the minds, pretenders, while chasing the clouds away.
And that lead vocal also makes the song so energetic sounding, and it increases across the song. Just listen when we compare going into the first and second choruses.
How the stars stole the night away, oh yeah. Hey, 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 true love we share today.
And also going into those end choruses where they hit those amazing harmonies.
I mean, absolute masterpiece. And it's impossible to listen to that song and not feel just a little bit of a pep in your step. Am I wrong? Our hearts were ringing in the key that our souls were singing as we danced the night. Remember how the stars stole the night away. Oh, yeah. Badia, say, do you remember? Badia, dancing in September. It just sounds so dumb to say the lyrics, right? But it works. That is a wrap for me today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Andy for picking up the phone. Don't forget, Sunburn Bowl 7 is on. You're going to feel great in Cancun with us. It'll be warm when it's cold as shit back here in the States. You don't have to be a listener from Wisconsin to join us down there. But if you are, get on board, because the deadline's coming up in the middle of October, and that's going to be here soon enough. It's September 22nd already, okay? So let's go on this front, people. Go to 973thegame.com. Find out details for Sunburn Bowl 7 with Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers and former voice of the Bears and former voice of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls. I mean, this guy's going to be great to have with us on the show that week to tell stories of doing all kinds of stuff. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday. And if your team threw the game away this weekend or got killed in college, just listen to this. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.